Wait, wait.
Wait. Don't adjust your headsets. Don't, you know, skip on this episode. It is really I, me, whatever you want to say. It is me. I am back. Hello. Don't know how loud that was. I'm really sorry. But anyway, let's get something to you. Let's get something that you want to hear. That did not sound right, but hey, we're going to go with it, okay? It's been a while. Okay, yes, hello, it is me. Like I said in the intro, even though I'm rubbish at intros, I still try and do them just to make this light and fun. But yes, I am here. I would say in a new setup, really not. I wish it was. It's not. I got a new gaming chair. That's about as fun as it gets. If you follow me on Instagram, Twitter, any of my socials, really, you would see my new gaming chair. You would also know that I have been and returned from the great state of Florida. I finally got to go on my Walt Disney World trip, which has been on hold since May 2020. So yeah, it's kind of been a wild few months, I won't lie. I was kind of hoping to do an updated podcast for everyone to let you all know that I was going. But I think I said on my last one that I did. Was it in September? Or did I do one in November when I came back from Paris? My God, I need to get up to date with what I've actually done and what I haven't done. Anywho, I will double check now. Okay, so it looks like it was September. So yeah, last time you heard from me, I was going to say I spoke to you, but I mean, technically that would be a right term as well. But last time you heard from me was September, and that was after I came back from Disneyland Paris when everything first opened for us to travel to France. Well, in November, I went to Disneyland Paris again for our usual annual Christmas trip, which we've not been able to do for the last year or so, but we went in November, and then after that they kind of shut down the borders again because of this new variant malarkey, which I'm not going to go into because, let's be honest, there's a lot of crap out there already about it, so I'm not going to spill my two beans over stuff that I have absolutely hardly any knowledge of. I just keep up the news because obviously I like to travel. So basically, we went to Paris in November. It was the exact same as September. Started to do tests and stuff to come back to England, etc., etc. I thought I was going to sneeze then. I'm real sorry. But yeah, so the November trip was the exact same. All that stuff. If you listen to the September podcast, I told everyone exactly how things were, how you go about doing it, what happened, yada yada yada, blah blah blah. And I think I said in that September one that as of then, my Walt Disney World trip was still going ahead. Flash forward to mid-December. And then this new variant came out and everyone was like, you know, you all know the story by now. France shut its borders. Most of the Europeans shut their borders. So I was kind of just expecting USA to follow suit. I mean, Canada did. Also, I'm led to believe. But USA actually kept them open. So it came to January 3rd. We was flying on the 4th. The 3rd, we had to do a test 24 hours before we flew. Did it. It was all clear. So me and my mum actually went on the 4th. Yeah, so we finally got to go to Florida. It's been, well, this trip's been 2 years on hold. Originally, I was going on my own. But then when it got pushed back, my parents decided to come in, so they paid the extra. But then it got pushed back again. And then it got pushed back again. To which my dad was, well, my dad just decided to pull out. Awkward pause. But, yeah, so he didn't want to go. So he told my mum to go with me instead. There was a time when I kind of just assumed that she wasn't going to come as well. So I was kind of expecting to push it back again just because I thought she wouldn't go without him. I mean, I personally would have preferred all three of us go, but at the end of the day, the original decision was that I was going to go on my own anyway when I booked it all. So I just thought, well, maybe if I end up going, it'll probably just be alone anyway. So, I mean, and also, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. I think the last 2 years have kind of taught us that. So it's kind of like, if we're going to go, we've got to go, like, sort of thing. But yeah, my mum decided to come. So it was just a case of we just went. It's been, like I said, 2 years on hold, but also 14 years since, it could be 15 years since we last gone. I think it's 2008, last time we went. No, so 14 years. Well, 14 years if I left it till September, because that was the last time I went, for my mum's birthday in September. So yeah, it's been a long time. A long time. A lot of stuff has changed. But this episode of this podcast is just to tell you basically why I love going to Disney parks. I mean, I've only ever been to Florida and Paris, but still, it's two Disney parks, two Disney lands, worlds, whatever you want to call them. I know there's quite a lot of people out there who've never been to one, and I'm only here to share my experiences and love for that. And if you're one of these people that have never been but want to go and listen to me, I thank you very much. Well, I thank everyone who listens to me, to be fair, because you're the only reasons why I keep going, to be fair. You're the only reasons why I keep trying to put out these podcasts, which they will be coming more regularly. At the moment in work, we're just going through, like, obviously the phases of people using up their holidays before the turn of the new working calendar year, etc. So I am doing a few more shifts, but hopefully after, you know, people have used up their holidays and whatnot, or we get into the new working calendar year, I should be back to a more regular rota. I mean, we are trying, well, my manager's trying to keep it as regular as possible anyway. But like I said, just got to cover some shifts. It's not too bad. I mean, I could record these super late at night and then put them out the next day or whatever, which I may end up doing at some point. But once all that's said and done and we go back to some sort of regular rota, then hopefully I should be able to start, you know, producing more and more podcasts. Hopefully more streaming on Twitch. And also, I'm going to try and do some videos for YouTube. I mean, I don't know what sort of content people want, because there's a lot out there already. There's a lot of stuff that people already do that I was kind of interested in doing, but there's a lot more people out there who are doing it, so I don't think people want to see another version of that sort of stuff, if you get my drift. Anyway, I am going to try to get more podcasts out. I probably won't go back to how I used to, where I did it every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I just don't think that's going to be possible. So it's probably just going to be more of a case of it's just going to drop whenever, basically. So if you do like my podcasts, I hope so, because I do try and make them interesting and fun and overall just informational. But if you do, please make sure you follow my Instagram, Twitter. I'm not really bothered about Twitch because that's just a thing on its own. Some people watch it, some people don't. But if you like my podcast, please follow my Instagram, Twitter, possibly TikTok, because I might do little short videos on TikTok to, you know, tell people that the podcasts are out. If you're following on like Spotify and stuff like that, then I don't know. Like, is there a notification bell you can ring or something? It might pop up and tell you when the new episode's coming out. I know if you follow a page on Spotify, it usually comes up on your homepage saying like new, like a new single from a band that you follow or a new podcast from a podcast. So I should appear on your page anyway. But if I don't, make sure you click all the bells and whistles and all that bejazzle. It just helps you keep up to date with what's going on. I mean, I will advertise it on my socials as well. And that's pretty much all I've got to say about my podcasting at the moment. Is that I am making a comeback, somewhat of a comeback. I mean, I've never really gone away. I've always done it. I've just, you know, stopped for a bit. But it's not going to be 3 times a week. It may be 2 times a week. It may be once a week. It may be 3 times a week. Who knows? It all depends how many I record at a certain time. I mean, for this, I don't know what I'm even going to call this. Is this going to be like a series or is like just a little collection of podcasts about my Walt Disney World trip? I mean, I say Walt Disney World. I did go to Universal Studios for one day as well. So technically, I'll just say my Florida trip. But I will promote it mostly as Walt Disney World because I spent most of my time at Walt Disney World. But yeah, I'm thinking my way of doing it. I'm going to record a podcast per park so I can talk about each park individually and not try and miss and mash it all together. And then if I miss something out, then I'll be just jumping back and forth to different parks, if that makes any sense whatsoever. I mean, in my head, it makes total sense because I'll just be talking about the one park per podcast. So I feel like that's probably the best way to do it. And also then, if you don't want to hear about a certain theme park, you can just skip that episode. I will be putting on the titles, what theme park it will be anyway. So, but for me, it's been 14 years since I've actually last gone to Florida. So there has been a lot of change. And there is also a lot of construction and new upcoming changes coming up. You get what I mean. Anyway, yeah. So I am going to do it park by park. And then obviously I'll have a separate one for Universal, because that's a theme park of its own. So, and I did go for the day, and there has been a lot of changes there as well, because that's been 14 years, because it's in Florida. Yeah, I'm just sounding like I'm rambling on now, but anyway, I'm just here today to talk about why I love going to Disney parks, or Just traveling in general. Like I've missed going as much. Like, if you've listened to my previous podcast, you will know that I used to go to Disneyland Paris quite a lot. Obviously, only went twice last year, and then once the year before, which was the January before everything, like basically before the whole world actually shut down the first time around. So we went the January, the first week or second week of January, or maybe even, I don't know, it was so long ago. It was sometime in January, we went to Disneyland Paris. Again, that was just me and my mum as well, because my dad couldn't get time off. And then the whole world shut down. And then we went in September and November last year, when everything opened up, and then it shut down again. Not the park didn't shut down, just the borders shut. But now they're back open, and things are changing again. So, I mean, to fly, right, so, before I carry on, I'll go on about, obviously, this is about Florida. So, I'll stick to Florida. So, to fly out, well, actually, no, I'll continue with France as well, because I believe this is the same situation with France. To fly out, you need to do a test 24 hours before you fly, no matter what your vaccination status is, whether you're fully vaxxed or whether you're not vaxxed, you still have to produce a negative test at least 24 hours before you fly. I haven't gone to France since it's reopened again in January, or they've reopened the borders again. But I believe it is 24 hours before you go. For us, when we went to Florida, originally it was supposed to be 3 days before you go, but then I think it was 2 weeks before we were due to go. Like, a week before Christmas, I think it was. The US announced that you have to be fully vaxxed and produce a negative test at least 24 hours before you go. So that kind of made us change our plans, because you have to have it supervised. You have to have a supervisionary test. Is that the right word? You have to have a supervised test, basically. So we used a company called, I want to say it's Breathe Assured or Breath Assured. But then that was one that my friend gave to me, because he went end of November, early December. Or was it just November? I don't know. It's all mixed into one. But he went late last year, when all the, stuff opened up properly for UK travellers to go. He used a company called, I'm sure it was like Breathe Assured. Basically, you pay for the test. It's a lateral flow test, basically. You pay for that, but then you have to do like a video call with a consultant or a doctor, and they basically like walk you through everything. Not that we already don't know how to do it, because people have been doing them at home, like lateral flows and whatnot, but this one is a little bit more expensive. It took us around half hour, but that was because our connection was a bit dodgy. No offense to whoever it was, she was a lovely woman. She helped us through everything, but her screen just kept crashing. And then they kept asking us to move the camera to a position where they could see us and the lateral flows on a table, but we could never get like a right angle because the lighting, and apparently on her end, she couldn't. Even though we could, because what we was doing, we was filming it off a phone, so it was FaceTiming, so you get that little square where you can see yourself as well. But we could see ourselves and the table, but she was saying that we were too blurry in the background to... So, yeah. So, basically, it took, like, a good 15 minutes to get all that sorted before we actually started the whole process. It does only take... It is only supposed to take 15 minutes in total. So she was like, oh, we'll just do it. Like, just hold up the box, show us like the contents in the box. So we did. And then we basically filmed ourselves, like, you know, putting it up our nose and stuff like that. And then we had to show her putting it in the test tube bottle thing with the liquid. We had to hold up the lateral flow whilst we squoze into it and all that stuff. But you know how it goes. Like I said, people have done it at home. It's just they wanted to see it to make sure that we, like, not forging it in any way. Not that I think you really could, to be honest. Because you're actually on camera, so if you are, like, fanning around with other stuff in the background, they're gonna see. But, yeah. So, it was just... It's basically, like, an actual at-home lateral flow as well. They look the same. It was as quick as the ones at home. So, whilst it was obviously registering on the flow itself, she just asked you loads of... Well, not loads of questions, but, like, some security stuff, like your passport number, and then she wants to see your actual picture of your passport. So you just hold up your passport so she can read out the number after you've read it out. It's just to doubly confirm everything. And then, obviously, name, your age, your date of birth, etc. Your address, where you're flying from, where you're flying to, how long you're going for. So she did that for me and then did it separate for my mum. We was both on the same call because, obviously, what's the point in doing one each? You might as well just both do call. So about the time we got through all that, the tests were done. They both showed up one line, which was negative. We just had to hold it up to show her that is negative. And then she wrote down negative on the certificate and then sent them over through email. So yeah, that was our fit to fly then. So then the next day was just, well, later on that day, we had to travel up to Manchester. We stayed overnight in a hotel, which was very nice. It was only about, I'd probably say about 10-minute drive away from the airport. So I'd highly recommend it. So yeah, we got the train from Cumberland to Manchester and then connected from Piccadilly to go to the airport. But then we got off at Neath Green. Not Neath Green. I generally can't remember the name of the place. But yeah, somewhat green. It is literally the stop just before the airport. So if you go to Manchester Airport on a train, it's the stop just before the airport. You get off, you walk up the ramp, and the hotel is literally there. Like, Premier Inn, there. And that was it. We stayed the night. It was nice. There's not much more that you really could want from a stopover hotel. As long as it's clean, quiet. Well, I say quiet. It was pretty quiet because it's not a massive hotel and it wasn't, like, around a lot of things. It was literally just a hotel and the restaurant next door. That was it. It was obviously on the back of the train tracks. But we didn't really hear many trains after like 10 o'clock. So it wasn't too bad. You also are pretty close to the airport, so you did hear a few airplanes coming over. But again, after a certain time, it kind of like obviously drew out throughout the night. You did start hearing them again. If you're very light sleepy, you might have heard them throughout the night. Like, I wake up a few times during the night, but I'm luckily to like fall back to sleep. So I did hear a few trains or planes coming or going. I don't know which way they were going, obviously. I did hear a few throughout the night when I did slightly wake up at 2 or 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it was. But then you mostly started hearing a lot of planes or trains happen around 6 in the morning. It may have even been way before then, because I'm sure we set off. No, we set off at 7, so it might have been about 5:30 do a start. You could probably start hearing a lot of stuff again. So it wasn't all bad. Like, I got some sleep, obviously excited, because... But then also in the back of my mind, I was kind of like, I still didn't really kick in that we was going. Because I still thought we might have got to the airport and then they were like, oh, USA's closed the borders, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, there was always that thought in the back of my head, because, like, you see on the news every day, like, oh, this variant was getting worse and it's more spreadable, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, it was just one of them things, to be honest. It really did not kick in at all. I say it didn't really kick in, but I mean, like, it genuinely did not kick in. Even when we got to the airport, even when we got through security, which, we had a little bit of an issue, not like a major issue, but there's an app on your phone, you can get on your phone called Verifly. Which a few airlines use. It basically, you can upload everything in there. You can upload your fit to fly, your passenger location form, your COVID pass. What else did? When you check in online, you can upload your booking, your boarding pass. My mum did them both through her phone. Mine was fine. Mine all came back fine and, like, showed, like, the tick to prove, like, everything was on there. But for some reason, my mum's wasn't letting her check in. Even though she had everything else done, everything else was ticked on there, it just wouldn't let her check in. So we just had to, obviously, we had to drop off the bags anyway. So I just said to her, like, obviously, everything's still on Verifly app, so all you need to do is just go up to them, show it them, and just check in. And that's basically all they did. They just wanted to, like, double check her COVID pass, which we like to print everything off. We print off everything from the certificates for our fit to fly. Our boarding passes, our COVID passes, passenger location forms. Literally, anything you have to do for the airport, we always have a physical copy as well as a digital copy. It just makes it that little bit easier in case, like, obviously systems go down or whatever, so they have to read something. I mean, you've got it on your phone, but it's just easier having a physical copy so you can give it to them instead of, like, zooming in on your phone for them to try and read and all that stuff. Obviously, on the way back, it's different because you don't have a printer or anything, so we couldn't do all that, but I'll get to that in a bit. So, so we got to the check-in. he saw that mine was all ready, check marked off on his computer. But for my mum, it kept coming up saying that she hadn't done anything, even though on her phone for Verifly, it showed she's done everything bar checking. So it was just a case of, like, she had to just show him everything on her phone already on the Verifly app. And he seen it was all ticked. He just wanted to doubly make sure that everything was on there. And he was like, yeah, that's fine. And then he checked her in. So, I mean, she was sat next to me anyway, because I've always seen... I always spoke to Aer Lingus online a few weeks prior, because I had to give... Obviously, my mum's a vegetarian. So, I had to give him... Well, I wanted to tell him, basically, to, like, book a veggie meal for her. So, they already told me what my seats were going to be. So, we already knew that we was going to be sat together and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's just a case of doing all that and then dropping our bags off. And we literally... security was a bit busy, considering it was a Tuesday morning at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. It was very busy. I've not seen the security like that for ages, but I suppose it was because they still didn't have all the staff on at that time in the morning. So it was just, it was very busy, but they still managed to get through quite a lot. I think it only took us like 20 minutes or 25 minutes. I mean, I've had longer waits at security in France when there's not even been that many people. So, yeah. I mean, it was very quick. And the people that were on kept shouting out, like, obviously, for people who have got liquids in their bags and stuff, to put them in a clear plastic bag, make sure they have everything out of their pockets and all that. They just kept reiterating all that, so it made it a lot quicker and easier for people to get through, which I highly cannot say enough good things about, because there's a lot of places, I say a lot of places, I've only really been to France in the last God knows how many years, that don't do all them, or let people know, like, even though people should probably already know all this anyway, if you're a frequent flyer, there's still the odd people that, you know, wait till they get to the very end or till they get to the actual station to then, you know, try and remove everything. But it is what it is. So we move on. We got through, and then it's just a case of waiting around. Manchester Airport's changed significantly since we last flew from there, which probably was around 14 years ago. Maybe 12. We might have gone to Spain from Manchester before we moved to Wales. But yeah, it's been a long time. They've done up the terminal. It's all fancy dancy, but I mean, it's really nice in there. Everything seems so, like, quite close as well. We flew with Aer Lingus. They don't usually do direct flights, but I believe they just started doing them in November when USA first opened their borders back up. So when I, you know, moved it to January, when was I supposed to go? Last September. So a couple of weeks before September last year, when we kind of knew that they weren't going to open their borders in time. They kind of emailed us and said, do you want to move it again? And this is Kenwood Travel, who I booked through, and they were fantastic throughout the whole 2 years of changing, swapping and changing, which I've spoke about before in the past, and I highly recommend using them if you're thinking of going to America, because they do it anywhere in America. Well, most places in America. They also do other places around the world. But I would recommend them if you're going to Florida, because they're just simple and easy to use. So yeah, they emailed me a couple of weeks before September asking if I wanted to move again. And I said, yeah. Originally, we moved it till the end of February because that was the only time my dad could have off his work. But then he dropped out like end of November, early December. So I emailed him again and said, can I move it forward or bring it back? Would it be back or forward? I don't know. But I said, could we go at beginning of January? And he said, yeah, no problem. Blah, blah. And when I looked at it, it was Aer Lingus. And I was kind of worried because I thought it might have been a stopover. But it did say direct on there. So I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, that was a... So I was... Every time I hear Aer Lingus, or the last like 4 or 5 years that I've known of Aer Lingus, everyone's always told me that it stops over in Dublin before, or Belfast, or somewhere like that, before they fly off again. So I was kind of, when I first seen Aer Lingus, I was quite skeptical. But I will wholeheartedly say it was probably one of the best services, best flights I've ever known to go to Florida. I mean, they genuinely could not have done anything more to make sure people had drinks, had food, made sure everyone was comfortable. I mean, it wasn't a full flight going. There was like, I would say there was still quite a lot of empty seats in front of us because we was like right in slap bang in the middle. We was the last. It goes, the seat structures in the plane was 2-4-2. So two seats, four seats, two seats. And me and my mum were sat on the last two seats before the toilets. So we had nobody sat behind us at all. In both flights, because that was where we was put in both flights. But it was like slap bang in the middle, because then after the toilets was another cabin, which is where they seem to put most people in the first place. But in front of us, there was a few people, but there was still like about 5 or 6 empty rows. And I mean the 2s, 4s, and 2s. They were like all empties. I'm not sure about business class, obviously, because I didn't walk down that way. But yeah, like the flight out was fantastic. They set off the first hour that you're in the air, you got your first lot of food, which was your main meal. And then, oh, you got a drink in the first hour, and then the second hour, you got your main meal. And then they came on like about half hour after your food, after they collected all the food trays back and stuff. They came back around about half hour later offering tea, coffee, another drink, stuff like that. And then about halfway through the flight, because it was a 9-hour flight going. So halfway through, they then came round and gave out little tubs of ice cream for everyone, and then offered drinks again. They also came around sometimes with like headphones to see if anyone wants any replacement ones, even though you got them free on your seat when you come on board. They still come around, made sure everyone, you know, got what they need. And then about an hour before you land, they come round with a little snack. It was like half a sandwich or something like that, if I remember right. Half a sandwich and like just some fruit or something with a little drink. And then obviously you land. So yeah, it was proper smooth as well, the flight going anyway. I'll talk about the flight coming back I might do a separate podcast again about coming back after I've finished all. Or should I just say it here? Actually, no, I'll just say it here. The flight back was, it was good. I mean, it was the same. They were, I can't highly recommend Aer Lingus staff enough because they wanted to make sure everyone was comfortable. But we were flying back through a storm or through, like, there was a storm happening over the ocean. So for at least a good 2.5, possibly 3 hours, it was just pure turbulence. And I mean, it was like, well, I'll put it this way. I was holding on to my seat because I'm not usually one for turbulence. Like, I don't think anyone is. I don't think anyone likes turbulence. But I don't usually mind it because it's just usually the often, like, quick, like that sort of thing. Like, I'm just gesturing my hand as if you can see. Obviously, you can't. But it's just a quick up and down, like, little jumpy motion. But it usually only lasts, like, half hour at most. But this one was, yeah, it was quite rough. I mean, how people slept on the way home, which I will say, there was literally only about 30 people on the plane. So that might have made it a bit worse as well, because obviously there wasn't that much weight on the plane. And it wasn't that much spread out either, because a lot of people were still in the back. But when me and my mum went up to use the toilets, we did do a head count. And there was only literally like 30 to 33 people on the plane or in the two cabins that we could see. Don't know about business class, but I highly doubt there was that many in there either. But there was like a row of four that was just in front of us or in front of our eye line. And a few of them were asleep. I was like, how the hell are they sleeping through this? Because I have flashbacks now. No, I joke. It was very rough though. Like, I genuinely tried to get asleep. I think I may have got like half hour in the whole eight and a half hour flight. I think I woke up just as the turbulence was starting. I mean, it went pretty hard. Like, we dropped and went up pretty hard, and then it like cooled off for a bit, so like 10 or so minutes like chilled time, and then it did it again. So it wasn't like constantly like whoa 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 whoa, whoa sort of thing. That's the best way I can do it over microphone, not gonna lie. It wasn't as like that for the whole 2.5 hours, but it had its relaxed moments, shall I say. I use that figuratively in air quotes because it wasn't like relaxing, but I mean, it was like more relaxing than, you know, dropping a good couple inches. It's basically how I'd imagine Tower of Terror being. I've never been on Tower of Terror, so I don't know. I've only ever seen ride videos because I don't usually like the feeling of my stomach, you know, ending up in my mouth. But that's how I imagine Tower of Terror would be, how that flight home was. Again, everything was fantastic. Check-in was quick and easy. What is it called? Orlando International Airport. It was super fast. Security or border control was real easy and simple. Like, they just literally looked at your passport and was like, okay. Like, that was it. Did not do anything. Didn't. Like, it was just easy. I got stopped at the 3D scanner because my underwear rolled up around my waist. So it looked like I was, like, you know, smuggling something, even though it wasn't. So the guy just literally did a quick frisk. And he was like super chilled about it. And I was like, Nah, I ain't got anything. Like, I knew I didn't have anything, so I was like, okay, you gotta do what you gotta do, I suppose. I mean, it clocked up on the 3D scanner that there's a heat mark or something around there, or whatever it is when they show you. So yeah, that just stopped us by about like 5 minutes, maybe. I don't know. It was quick anyway, but I mean, like, it feels like a long time when you get stopped. I usually get stopped at airports anyway. I don't know why. It always seems to go off with me, and I always get frisked. Like, I know I've not got anything, but I mean, at the end of the day, I suppose they do it to however many people, because that's their job. It is what it is. Security and all that, fantastic. Keeping us safe, that's all it is. But yeah, that was pretty, like, as soon as got through there, that was it. Like, and then we was like just waiting a good 2 hours before we and then we literally, they called out our gate at Orlando International Airport. They said, boarding Aer Lingus flight, blah, 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 to Manchester. Now boarding, all seats come up for preparing for board, blah, blah, blah. We literally got up. There wasn't that many people waiting in that area. So me and my mum just looked at each other and went, oh, they must be in the food, like where all the food stuff is and whatnot. So like they called it over to Hanoi and we just assumed, like, as soon as we get on the plane, we'll be sat on the plane. Because it was like, it was a good 50 minutes before we was due to set off. So I just assumed we'd be sat on the plane for a good 40 odd minutes. And I was a bit like, do I really want to go on the plane now and wait that long? But we literally got on the plane, sat down, some other people came on. And then the guy came on with the papers, you know, like, if you watch closely on a plane, or you've been on enough, like, you'll see there's always a guy that comes on the plane with the papers, like, who prints them off at the desk before the, you know, you go on to board. He comes on the plane, gives them the papers, and that's usually the sign of, like, that's it. And I just looked at him, and I was like, this isn't it. Because there's literally like 30 odd people on this plane. there was 17 empty rows in front of us. And I mean, all the twos and all the fours were empty in the 17 rows. That was like, some people got up. Like the row that we was on, there was the two on the other end was filled. The four, like, just in front of us, because it was like, the fours were like a little bit forward than the twos, if that makes any sense. So that was filled. And then me and my mum was a two, so that was filled. The two on the other end of us, they got up and moved like to the middle. The middle four, I think it was. So they could spread out and lie down on all four seats. Which my mum was like, yeah, I'll do that. And then obviously turbulence happened, so she never did. But yeah, so it was like, there was, and then the guy came in with the papers. The woman, the air hostess, was like, oh, thank you very much. And he was like, have a safe flight. I was like, this is not it. This is not, I'm not having it. This is not it. Because what is the actual point? I was like, we're now 40 minutes away from like setting off. I was like, they're not gonna keep everyone on the plane for 40 minutes before we're due to set off. And then lo and behold, a voice comes over the tannoy. Hello, this is your captain speaking. I was like, hello, captain. Yeah, whatever. Like, cool, nice to introduce yourself. Everyone does. He was like, oh, we've made an arrangement with air control or ground control, whatever they're called. He's like, we're now going to be setting off in 10 minutes time. I was like, fucking hell, it's happening, boys, it's happening. like literally 30 people on a plane, this massive plane, and we're setting off early. Like, this is a win-win. And then we get to, like, 4 hours out from landing and the bloody turbulence happens. Like, I suppose you can't have it. You can't have it all, can you? You can't set off half hour early and expect, like, you know, a good, clean, smooth flight. Like I said, the staff were fantastic. They obviously couldn't do any more than what they already did. The captains obviously couldn't do any more than what they could have done anyway, because turbulence is just a natural thing. But when I do go Florida again, which I will do hopefully within the next couple years, I was cheekily looking at the prices for later on in the year, but I doubt it's going to happen. Not unless somebody wants to come with me and wants to pay half, because I can't afford a lot. Not after this trip. Which is another podcast of its own, because I'll go through like stuff that I bought and whatnot. I realized I said at the beginning of this podcast, why do I love Disney so much? And I feel like I haven't even touched that basis yet. So this might be just part one. I might just call this part one, because it's getting quite long already. So I might just record a part two, which I will talk about why I love Disney so much. But this was just basically like how everything happened, like how the flights, how the airports were. Aer Lingus, though, I don't know if you can hear that. I'm applauding. I generally would use them again. I'd probably prefer them over Virgin. Like, the last I remember of Virgin was like 14 years ago, and I just remember it being, meh. Like, I don't have a great memory, so there probably is bits that I'm missing out from Virgin's experiences and stuff. But from what other people have told me in the last 5 or so years of using Virgin, is that it's just meh. No offense, people who work for Virgin. Obviously, you guys know what you're doing, or you've been told what you gotta do and all that stuff. But Aer Lingus, I swear to God, I'd happily use them again. Everything was just nice. Everything was clean. Facilities were amazing. Check-in staff at both airports were fantastic and really, like, just super. I know you're supposed to be nice to people, but, like, there was a woman checking in next to us at Orlando International Airport, and she didn't have any documents whatsoever. And this the woman behind the counter was like, oh, yeah, you need to just do, like, a passenger location form. You need to, like, have a COVID pass. And she went, if you come over here with me, and then she's just like showing her on her phone. I was like, that's, I mean, she didn't have to do that because it's obviously other people who need to, you know, check in and whatnot. But I mean, like, that to me, that's like going out your way and super helpful. I know you're supposed to be super helpful anyway, but like, I've been to airports and check-in staff just look like that. So I mean, like, fair play to them, like, that's, but I suppose if it is the first time doing long haul direct flights, I suppose they want to like make sure everything's good so that people will use them in the future. And I promise you, like, I will try and use Aer Lingus again if or when I do go back, because I genuinely enjoyed them. Even the talking to them over live chat and stuff about my mum's dietary needs and stuff. Like, they're so fast at responding. They were fast. They were, like, super pleasant about it all. They was, like super chilled as well. Like, I would just, yeah, Aer Lingus, use them. Please. Like, genuine. If you prefer like Virgin or British Airways over them, then that's fair enough. I don't think I've flown with British Airways. I might have done when I was like super young, when we first started going to Florida. But I only remember mainly Virgin, or Travel City Direct, who flew through Virgin, or was a Virgin sister company anyway, but they went out of business. We used them quite a lot because they were quite cheap. But yeah, Aer Lingus, use them. Honestly, use them. But for now, I'm going to leave it there because it's, you know, it's gone on for a while. That was just my whole experience about how to... Oh, yeah, and when you come back to the UK, you don't need to do a test. I don't know if I don't think I said that. You don't need to do a test anymore. If you're fully vaccinated, you just need your COVID pass. There you go. Job done. That changed whilst we was over in Florida. Like, our second full day there, it broke on the news saying that you don't need to do a test. So the test that we took with us, we just brought them back because we'll probably end up using them. To go to France, possibly. So yeah, that's it. That's my take on the airports, the flights, and just yeah, everything. Kenwood Travel, I'd use them again, and Aer Lingus, I'd use them again. They were fantastic. Until next time, I will speak to you very, very soon.